Jesus is a huge part of my life. From my friends to my family to my downtime to my schoolwork, I see him in everything that I do. More recently, I've been seeing Jesus in the small things. When I step outside and feel sunshine on my face and breeze blowing through my hair, I sense his presence. I witness his handiwork when I see the fall leaves floating to the ground and all the beautiful colors. I feel closest to God when I am outside and surrounded by his creation, and I can just feel his presence surrounding me wherever I am at. Sometimes I think the simplest things draw us closer to God, because I believe that we complicate our lives sometimes, and sometimes we just need to simplify and draw closer to him. And what God has been teaching me recently is to simplify my life and just bask in the small details of everything he creates, and to not be so stressed and to focus more on him in everything we do.
So I'm sure many of us are already thinking ahead to Thanksgiving break. But over fall break, I attended an environmental convention in Pittsburgh called Power Shift with 9 other EMU students. A major theme of the conference was the interconnectedness of environmental justice with social and economic injustices like racism and poverty. I believe that as disciples of Jesus, we are especially called to fight injustice in any form. And at the conference, I saw God in the collective love of the thousands of young people there for our local and global neighbors, who are often financially challenged minorities whose land and health is directly affected by environmental exploitation and degradation. And I also felt God in our shared hope for a more just global community in the future.
I'm Ken L. Napsiger, Vice President for Student Life and Dean of Students, and you just saw a video series that the PA Rose Jancy has been doing generally on Wednesdays, and this one is called Where Have You Seen God? It's my privilege this morning to introduce our chapel presenters, and that is members of the men's and women's EMU cross-country team. We're all very excited and proud of their athletic accomplishments this year. And if you noted from this past week, the women finished second in the ODAC and moved to being rated number 6 in the South region. And the men finished 4th in the ODAC and are rated number 9 in the South. They will race next Saturday and they will represent us. Led by third-year coach Jason Lukowitz, their athletic accolades and accomplishments are impressive. But what Coach Lukowitz has to say on his website sums up why the teams are presenting here today. He says, and I quote, "God has blessed us all with abilities. We need to harness that and get the most that we can out of it, and then give honor to God no matter what the results are." With that in mind, it's my privilege to present members of the EMU men's and women's cross-country team as they lead us in worship today.
I'm going to be reading from Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
I'm reading Colossians 1:15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, and making peace by the blood of his Christ.
Good morning, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we know it's a gift to live in a community like this, God. And I know that we're blessed to have the opportunity to share together our trials, our pains, and our sufferings, and our joys, God. Lord, I pray that you be with Jacob as he gives this message. Thank you that you have laid this on his heart, Lord, and for his obedience and for bringing it to us. Thank you that you have made us to be social beings, Lord, and we don't have to walk this journey on our own, Father, but we can share together and celebrate in our joys, God, and encourage each other in our weakness. God, we thank you because you are holy and you are sovereign, Lord, and we are humbled that you have chosen us to join you in your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This morning, I'm going to be picking back a little bit off of what Jolie did last Friday. So for those of you who weren't here last Friday, Jolie used chapter 15 of John, which I'll just lightly paraphrase for you. It talks about abiding in Christ. Jesus says that I am the true vine and the Father is the vine grower. And it goes on talking about how you get more fruit by being in the vine, and abiding in Jesus gives you more fruit. To paraphrase it further, Jesus goes on and says that, hold on here, wasn't planning on doing all this. You know the times when you're flipping through the Bible and you grab three pages instead of just one? So I'm going to jump in here at verse 9 and start out. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that your joy may be complete and that my joy may be complete in you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for the life of one's friends. If you are my friends, if you do what I command you, or you are my friends if you do what I command you, and I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. That's just kind of a preface to kind of what I'm going to be talking about here. But this morning, I want us to think of a beehive. And for a second, just put away all of the bad images you might have with that, getting bee stings or something. But think of the positive aspects of a beehive. And so what are some of the things that we might notice? Well, first we would notice that a beehive has bees. No surprise there. A beehive also has honey. I think of Winnie the Pooh reaching in his hand and getting out a big glob of honey. Beehives also have queens, or some type of authority within the beehive. And let's think of this beehive that we're imagining right now as a community. Let's think of it as this community. And maybe that's too broad for some of you, so maybe in your mind just shrink it down to maybe your community of friends, or your sports team, your family, or maybe your church community. Imagine some community that you are a part of right now. And hold this image with you as we go on here. And let's take this beehive and this honey that we have in the beehive, and let's call that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit among us. And let's think of the queen as maybe Jesus, or the Word of God, this thing that has authority over our lives in the community. So with this vision, What does it mean to abide in Christ? How do we take Jolie's message from last week of abiding in Christ and bring it to this community beehive that I'm trying to help us imagine? Well, last week, Jolie talked about the word abide. She described it as meaning to make a home in, and that we are to make our home in Jesus. And this means that we're supposed to have a relationship with Jesus. And if you want more on that, I really encourage you to go check that out. It's on a podcast. Listen to it. Jolie did a great job. But if the word abide, if that isn't connecting with you, you could also think of the word as meaning to dwell or to stay in. The NIV translates the word to remain. So the verse would say, remain in me as I remain in you. So with this chapter here, which I should have read all the way through because I stumbled a lot through that, we have the image of a vine, of a grapevine. And a grapevine, if you've ever seen one growing, it has a main central stem coming up and then kind of main branches coming out, and then from that are smaller branches that bear the fruit. And this vine is actually a historical metaphor for Israel, used in the Old Testament. We see it in Psalm 80, in Isaiah 5, Jeremiah 2. It's actually used a lot when Israel messes up, when they do bad things. They're described as the vine that withered, or the fruit that went sour. But here in John 15, Jesus is saying that I am the true vine, the true source of nourishment, the true source of growth for the branches, for the community. See, we have to remember this. In John 15, this is right after the Last Supper, right after the foot washing. Jesus is talking about in the chapter before that he is the way to the Father, and that he's going to send the Holy Spirit as an advocate when he goes away. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death and his resurrection. So he's speaking to them. He's got them gathered in front of him, if you can imagine. And he's speaking to them as a group, not as individuals. In the Western context of individualism and the clumsiness of the English language, we can miss the communal power that this message in John 15 is having, of abiding in the vine, of abiding in Jesus. It makes sense in a community. And these disciples are a community of followers of Jesus. And soon Jesus will die and rise from the grave, and that sweet honey of Pentecost will flow down among the disciples. So here, again, Jesus is telling the community of disciples to abide or dwell or remain in Jesus. It's not just a prescription for us as individuals, although that is important too. But this chapter is a mandate for the community. So we're going to switch gears just a little bit. I hope you still have that image of the beehive in your mind there. And we see this as a community. And we know that Jesus wants this community now to abide in him, to gather the nectar and swim in the honey. But this community can also help us in our individual walk with Christ. Now, I know I'm talking in circles because I just said this is community and not individual, but it'll make a circle in the end. In this community, we're constantly interacting with each other. That is what a community is. It's a group that interacts together. They share common bonds. And I believe that it's our calling as Christians to care for those around us, to care for our community, these people that we share our lives with, to help them to abide in Christ. Picking out verse 17 from that chapter, this is my command, love each other. And Christian love is many things. If you want the full explanation of it, or a fuller explanation of it, you can check out 1 Corinthians 13 for Christian love of friends. But looking in just the community, I think I want to focus on how a community can help us support each other, to pray for each other, and with each other. How we help others abide with Christ in the community by telling our story, by being an example to others in our Christian walk. See, in our actions, in these actions of supporting, praying, telling, and being, we can help those around us to abide in Christ as individuals, which builds up the community. When we support each other, when we listen to our friends when life is hard, listen to the strangers when their life may be hard, encourage those around us when they're stumbling, guiding them through life. When we pray, when we come before God in praise and thankfulness, interceding for our community, for those around us. When we tell people our story, when we share how God is working in our lives, and when we live out our call to be the love of Christ to others, we help those around us to grow closer to Christ. And actually, we ourselves grow closer to Christ in the process. I can't think of anyone being able to pray for someone else and not getting blessed in return by the prayer. We dwell in Christ when we help others abide in Christ. So often we don't think that we are worthy, that we're not strong enough. How can I help someone else dwell in Christ if I'm barely a Christian myself, is what we tell ourselves. But see, that's not the point. Alone, a bee will die. Any bee without a hive will not survive the winter. It won't be able to feed itself. So instead, the bee invests itself in the community. And this weak little bee, gathered together with all these other bees, becomes a strong community that cares for one another. See, the strength of the bees are not in the individual. They gather the honey as a community. They go and tell their friends where the best flowers are to go, or they distract some bear that might be trying to swat at them, or some human that thinks it wants to kill it. They stand up for each other, even though they are small, and they help gather in that honey. We live out Christ's love by giving it to those around us. We help the community to abide in Christ by helping each other abide in Christ. By taking away the focus on ourselves and just going after God on our own. If that's all we do is just think that we can make it there by ourselves, we will fail. We need the community around us to help us get there. We need to guide those next to us and accept that guidance from others. We help the hive instead of just gathering honey for ourselves. Chapter 15 of John is addressed to a community of Jesus' followers. And in that community, we discover Christ more fully than we would alone. We live out the love of Christ to those around us, to the close community and the community far away. We can live out this abiding with just our close friends, but we can also live it out in our school community, in our neighborhood community, and maybe even our country community. This is a missional chapter. It's not just an individual walk or even just a community walk. But through this chapter, we can see how we are called to be the love of Christ to everyone. In the community, by supporting, praying, telling, and being, we help others abide in Christ, and we ourselves find a deeper relationship with God. So today, let's work to help those around us abide in Christ. Let's hold each other up. Let's work to be a light to our friends close by and the broader community around us.